coming to you loud and clear from our safe and germ-free homes and on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, filling in for Tom Clark, and as always, we're here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. As usual, Zorba, we have a couple good topics to talk about today.
Yes, we're going to talk about weighted blankets, something I never knew about and is very interesting, how it works for insomnia with kids who have autism, and it may work for insomnia with you. And then we're going to talk about sports and memory, exercise and memory. Where does it fit in? Where does this interesting research on college students fit in with sports? And then what does it do for people who have Alzheimer's disease? Very interesting, controversial, but really good data.
And what's our special recipe today?
Juicy Lucy Burgers. Come on. Ooh. Do you think we could do anything that would be less heart healthy than a burger? And it sounds like Juicy and Lucy. And you can just imagine what it is. Let me tell you that my coronary arteries just squeeze tight when I think about it, let alone actually taste it.
800-462-7413 is the number to call, where you can leave a voicemail anytime with your question for Dr. Zorba. And then stay tuned. You might just hear yourself on an upcoming episode of the show. That's 800-462-7413. I'm also happy to announce that later in the show, we'll hear from Tom Clark in his very cool, very chill backyard oasis for the recipe segment. We've been combing through the many voicemails listeners have left us, and of course, Zorba will be answering your questions throughout the program. So let's kick off the calls today with a caller from... All right, Zorba, let's do trivia again. Do you like it when we do trivia?
I love trivia. I love trivia when I can answer it correctly. That's why I love trivia the most.
Yeah, I think last time you got a couple right. This caller's state was the 24th state to be admitted to the union. So you got that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this state is also where the ice cream cone was invented.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Actually, no, you're actually really close. You're very close.
Okay. Yep. Kansas.
Really close. You're getting warmer.
Nebraska.
It's right around there. It's right.
North Dakota.
Now you're getting colder.
I'm losing.
Literally.
Texas.
It's Missouri. Missouri.
Oh,
there it
Missouri.
Is.
Come on. Seven times the charm. Missouri. That ice cream cone was invented in Missouri?
It was. It was at the 1904 Missouri World's Fair. And here's the scoop. So there was an ice cream vendor. He ran out of cups, ice cream cups.
Yeah.
And he asked the next door waffle vendor to help out by rolling up his waffle to hold the ice cream.
Oh,
so I guess the first ice cream cone was a waffle cone.
Was a waffle cone. Oh, God. Yeah. I could use an ice cream cone right now.
Why not? All right. Let's hear from Missouri.
My question is about the COVID virus. With all the people getting sick again, it doesn't look like there's a permanent immunity you get from the virus. My understanding is vaccines work the same way. Everybody's really super positive about a new vaccine coming out. How is this going to work if it works the same way as the virus and people are catching it again? I've done a lot of searching on the internet, and I can't seem to find a really good answer as to why the vaccine would work, but you don't get an immunity from the virus. Anyway, thank you. Bye.
A lot of good points there. So first of all, Carl, do you know what herd immunity is? You've heard that phrase.
I've heard it a lot lately, actually, yeah.
The idea of herd immunity is if enough people are immune to a particular disease, infectious disease, then it can't spread throughout the community because they're not going to spread it. So in other words, let's make an assumption. There's a lot of assumptions here. Let's talk about it with measles. When you get measles, you have lifetime immunity to measles. It lasts for a lifetime. And so it's one and done. So if enough people in the community get measles, then basically people are not going to get it. It's not going to spread and become like, you know, spread like wildfire throughout the community. Now, we don't get measles anymore, but we get measles shots. And we discovered early on when you give a measles injection to a child at 15 months, that doesn't last. They need another booster at 5 years old. And then it appears to be lifetime immunity. So even when you get these measles outbreaks from the from the anti-vaccinators, they don't spread like wildfire throughout the community because lots of people are immune to it. Now let's go to COVID. Number one, we don't know whether or not antibodies to COVID will keep you from getting COVID or keep you from getting sick from COVID. In other words, hey, let's assume, Carl, you get COVID. Did you get COVID, Carl?
Not that I know of, no.
Not that you know. But let's assume you have COVID. Mm-hmm. Well, you might get COVID again. Let's just assume you have minimal antibodies. But more importantly, you may not get sick from COVID. And the issue is, will you then spread COVID to other people? In other words, you might be positive to COVID that shows you have an infection, but you might not be infectious from COVID. So there are lots of questions that go on here. The real issue with basically antibodies that are produced by immunizations, and there are a number of good studies that are going on. We'll find out if something actually occurs with them. The real issue is, number one, will the antibodies be robust enough to keep you from getting COVID so you don't spread it? Number two, will at least keep you from getting really, really sick if you get COVID? And these are two questions that have yet to be answered because we don't know how many antibodies you actually need to keep from spreading COVID or getting sick from COVID. So it's lots of stuff. And yes, there's a lot of promise out there because frankly, if we don't have hope, what do we have?
Nope.
We have no. That's right.
I don't know. Sorry.
No, that's right. We have no. That was really good. You know, for a stand-up comedian.
I don't know.
But I do have faith that science will win because we have won with chickenpox. We've won with smallpox, measles, mumps. German measles, which was rubella. We wiped out polio, basically throughout the world, except for a few places they don't want to get immunized. We've given immunizations for coronaviruses in animals. We will win this fight. The question is, when?
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Call us anytime, and let's keep the calls rolling, Zorba. Let's hear now from a listener in Wisconsin.
Hi, Zorba. I'm calling for a loved one who just got diagnosed with achalasia, and she's having quite a bit of trouble swallowing even liquids. And I'm wondering, how do we go about choosing a doctor and a clinic to go to and anything else that we should consider?
So achalasia is a problem. It's a motility problem. So, when you're Carl, have you ever swallowed too quickly and the food doesn't go down or the drink doesn't go down? Has that ever happened to you?
It has, and it's not fun. Yeah.
No, it's not fun. So all of a sudden it gets stuck. If you have achalasia, that happens all the time.
Ooh,
and it gets stuck because the motility, when you drink suddenly or it's a big bolus of food and all of a sudden it has trouble going down, it's because the motility, the squeezing of the esophagus is not in sync with the food that's actually in the esophagus, the liquid, the solid, the bolus, whatever you're actually doing there. And it's really a problem. It's a neurological disorder. It's a nerve disorder when the nerves get damaged and it really doesn't work correctly. And so the secret here, if you have achalasia, is to go to a gastroenterologist who is very familiar with achalasia. It may be going to a secondary place like University of Wisconsin or a secondary clinic, and you're in the Midwest, Mayo Clinic, Gunderson Clinic, where they have GI docs who are interested in achalasia. And the reason is it has to do with swallowing, learning how to swallow correctly. You need physical therapy or occupational therapy, but there are ways that you can learn to swallow so that it will decrease the amount of time the food sort of gets stuck and it causes it to be painful. And there are then foods that you learn to eat that you can eat and foods you can't eat. How do you swallow? What sort of liquids there are and so on. But it's a very individualized program. And that's where I think a tertiary clinic comes in for something like this. So I would put achalasia, I would put tertiary care in Google, and I would look around. And if there were a question, but I would know it, I'm in Wisconsin, I would go to the University of Wisconsin, Mayo Clinic, Gunderson Clinic, but I would call up and I would say, who do you have who's really interested in achalasia? Because that's what you want. You want somebody who has a vested interest because they're going to give you the best care.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. Leave a message with a question for Zorba. And let's get back to those calls in a little bit. But first, let's get into kind of a, maybe this is one of our heavier topics we've ever addressed on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Weighted blankets.
Yeah, weighted blankets. Have you ever heard of a weighted blanket?
I did, yeah. I tried one out once. And
well, tell me about it. Well, tell me why and when did you try it?
A couple of years ago, I read about them online somewhere and thought, I'll give that a try. It seems kind of, it wasn't for insomnia. It was just, it sounded like something cool to try. So I ordered one, I got it, and I tried it one night, and I liked the feeling of it, I guess. Uh-huh. I liked the weight, but I didn't like how hot I got. I kind of sleep a little hot, so I returned the weighted blanket.
Well, it's interesting. This particular study was a randomized controlled study, and they looked at weighted blankets for people who had insomnia, who had psychiatric disorders, PTSD, people, young children and older people who had autism, to see whether or not weighted blankets would actually help them sleep and help their insomnia. And so they had 120 adults, you know, men and women previously diagnosed. They had insomnia, they had depression, they had bipolar, they had anxiety, and so on. So half of them were given a weighted blanket. A number of them were given a weighted blanket, an 8-kilogram weighted blanket. And some found that too heavy. If they found that too heavy, they were given a lighter blanket that was about 13 pounds, roughly 13 pounds, a 6-kilogram blanket. And the others in the control group were given a blanket that had little like balls in there called chains, so it felt the same as the weighted blanket, but it was only about 3 pounds. So in other words, it had the same textual feel, but it did not have the weight that it was on there. So here's what happened. Nearly 60% of the weighted blanket users said they had a positive response. And when they looked at how you actually rate insomnia, they had a 50% greater a rating of their insomnia. In other words, their insomnia was much, much better after that. And then after the 4-week period, all of the people in the study, including the control group, were offered a weighted blanket. And then when you looked at them 12 months later, okay, all these folks, 92% of them were still using the weighted blanket, and nearly 80% of them said they no longer suffered insomnia.
Wow.
Very important, 80%. Yeah. So here's something interesting. So these are people who had sort of psychological issues. And so one theory behind it is maybe it makes you feel cuddly, you know, so it reminds you like of your mom or your dad tucking you in and you felt cuddly. That might have been it. It might have been an issue for people who sleep cold, like yourself. You sleep warm, so you found the blanket too warm, but if you sleep cold, you find it warmer. Now, this is really interesting. So the first thing I did after I looked at the study is I went to the web and guess what I bought?
A weighted blanket.
I bought a weighted blanket. Now, my wife, Penny, we do sleep together. We've been together 45 years. She would not want a weighted blanket because she likes a light blanket.
Okay.
And basically, the discussion in our household for years is, do we use a light blanket or do we use a somewhat heavier blanket? This has been an ongoing discussion. In the winter, I win with the heavier blanket. In the summer, she wins with a light blanket. And sometimes I have slept with a blanket under the light blanket because I like to have the more cuddly feel. So I bought a weighted blanket. Now, the other thing is, I have a body that tends to be on the older side. I mean, when you're 73, it's definitely on the older side. Got a little arthritis in my left wrist, a little arthritis in my right wrist, got a little pain in my back. And I thought maybe this will help me in the middle of the night and I will sleep better. So I got my weighted blanket. I put it on the bed. I've had it on for a week. And guess what? It works beautifully.
Wow.
I love the weighted blanket. And I especially love it. You know, Carl, as you get older, nature tends to call you in the middle of the night.
Sure.
You got to get out of bed, go to the washroom. You got to come back, got to get into bed. Your goal when you get back into bed is to go to sleep, right? You want to go to sleep right away.
Right, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible. I found that when I got back into bed in the middle of the night, this is really what it was, I put the weighted blanket over me and I felt like I was being totally cuddled. See, because my wife, Penny, next to me, who is sleeping, is not necessarily going to cuddle me in the middle of the night, although she may cuddle me at the beginning of the night, but not in the middle of the night. So the weighted blanket was sort of a substitute for cuddling me in the middle of the night. Maybe that was it. All I know is I'm sleeping better. My arthritis feels better. I am sold. In fact, I've decided to start my own company, the Zorba Pastor Weighted Blanket Company. What I can do for you is give you a blanket like the pillow guy. You know the pillow guy you see on TV?
Yep.
See, instead of the pillow guy, I'm going to be the weighted blanket guy. Anyway. Until
get your Z's with Zorba.
Hey, man.
There it is. It's right there.
You got it.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to our calls with a caller in Amherst, New York.
I have a question. I get night sweats, which increase or decrease. I don't know why. I'm also on a few medications. I have high blood pressure as well as diabetes. So I was wondering if it's caused by any of those. I've tried lowering the doses, but I have not been able to get rid of it. Earlier, I was diagnosed having adrenal deficiency, so I was put on hydrocortisone, but later I was told that's no longer a problem, so I was off. So I don't know why I'm getting these, and it's very frustrating because I wake up middle of the night after 2-3 hours of sleep. I had cortisol levels checked, which are, they say, are normal, so no need to do further testing. Thank you.
A lot of issues here, very important. Night sweats are not uncommon. So if you've got night sweats, first of all, you got to go to your doctor if it's a continuous issue to figure out what it is. So that's number one. And our caller clearly has done that. Women, of course, get night sweats in the middle of the night from menopause. Let's put that just to the side for a minute, because then we know what the night sweats are from. But the night sweats can be from a whole variety of things. It can be from infectious diseases such as tuberculosis. When I first started in medical school, TB was still a pretty common thing. And the first thing you did if somebody has night sweats is you found out if they had a cough. And if so, you check them for TB. And TB is now pretty uncommon in this country, although it is common. It does happen. And that's why you really have to get a doc involved to see what that is. He had adrenal insufficiency. Cortisone levels can actually, that can be a common thing with cortisone levels being off. He obviously had a second test that it wasn't the cortisone levels. Lowered his medications. You don't want to lower any medication without talking to your doctor. And the reason is, if you lower the medicine, it may be something that's really important. Not going to do anything for your night sweats, but you may suffer from medications which are really at the wrong dose for what you actually need to have it. And so it's really important then not to do that without it. I think talking to your pharmacist is really important. Say, hey, I've got all these drugs. I'm in 3 drugs, 4 drugs, 5 drugs. Do you know if they call night sweats, if they cause it? Pharmacists love to do research. They really like to do it because they went to pharmacy school. They love the concept of what drugs may or may not do. And you want to see whether or not there's an interaction that can be causing it. And then if that fails, you want to look at your room and see how you're sleeping. And you want to Google good sleep hygiene. Just put that in. Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins, University of Wisconsin. They have a lot of good PDF files on sleep hygiene and what you do in the room. There's some people that actually have a fan that they have running on the bed, and for some reason the fan on their face reduces the sweating that they have. Because if none of these things cause it, you want to look at what you do. Turning down the temperature in the room, changing the blankets that you have, putting a fan that goes in your head, all these things can make a difference. So that's why you need to have a doctor who's really on your side to try to figure these things out. But sleep hygiene may be a reason. Drugs may be a reason. But do not lower your medication unless you talk to your doc, because you don't want to all of a sudden end up not having the right medication in the right dose.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But Zorba, before we take a break, we always appreciate our listeners posting on our Facebook page. So, time again for Facebook feedback. Facebook feedback. Okay, Zorba, this Facebook message came from a listener, Chris, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Chris writes, "Pancakes for Tom Clark." That's how Chris started this. Chris continues, "Tom complained pancakes have no flavor. My response is, you are eating the wrong pancakes."
Oh.
"This one is from the web. We love it so much, we made a few changes to it. Instead of buttermilk, we use 2 small containers of banana yogurt."
Ooh.
And a half cup milk.
Mm-hmm.
"Grape nuts are good, but we found steel-cut oats much better."
Ooh.
"And my wife added 2 very ripe bananas and a pint of blueberries."
Ooh.
Chris says, "I think Mr. Christensen will make it for you if you, Tom, are not too surly."
Oh, surly.
Yeah,
Tom, surly?
Pancakes.
Tom and surly do not go hand in hand. Not when it comes to pancakes or burgers. Tom is not surly. Now, when it comes to tofu and kale,
that's
a different issue. That's a very different issue.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Chris, for that kind of recipe, I guess. Maybe we'll do that on a future show. Who knows?
I like it.
And thanks for all the Facebook comments. It's always a good place to go for Zorba's frequent updates, especially surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic. So post there. But if you want to also send us an email, you can do that anytime at
Zorba@WPR.org.
We have more of your calls to come, more of your emails as well. And Zorba and Tom will be grilling up Juicy Lucy Burgers.
Mmm, delicious.
In Tom's cozy backyard bistro, which is also known as Tom's Tiki Temple. Is that what he calls it?
All right. We'll just leave it at that. I'm trying to picture Tom in a tiki temple. I can do it.
All right. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Now, we know you don't just listen to the show for Zorba's healthy living advice. You also show up to see what culinary delights are on Chef Tom's inspired menu. So let's head over to Tom Clark's backyard oasis, where Zorba and Tom are firing up the grill for a mouth-watering batch of Juicy Lucy Burgers.
Carl, thanks a lot. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor. As you know, Zorba always has a heart-healthy recipe. So, Zorba, tell us what a Juicy Lucy is.
Now, let me tell you something. You say I always have a heart-healthy recipe. So, yeah. Do you think a Juicy Lucy, just by the name, would be a heart-healthy recipe? What do you think, Tom?
Well, if we're doing it, it has to be.
That's right. Yeah. By definition.
So maybe we'll have to revise it a little to make it heart healthy. Go ahead.
The only way to revise this recipe and making it heart healthy is not to eat it at all. That's probably the only way to do it. So, you know, the Juicy Lucy, it originated in the Twin Cities. Gosh knows where that was in the Twin Cities, but it's not a regular cheeseburger with the cheese on top of it. It's cheese inside the burger instead of on top of it. So it's two ground beef patties sealed around a small stack of cheese. You throw it on the griddle, you put it on the bun, and when you bite into it, you get a waterfall of cheese. Can you picture that, Tom? A waterfall of cheese.
Yeah, I think I can picture that.
I bet you can. Now, wait a second. When was the last time you had a cheeseburger?
It's been a while, actually.
Yeah, that's because of COVID.
Years.
Has it been years?
I used to eat cheeseburgers all the time, but it's been a long time.
You mean even before COVID, you had stopped eating cheeseburgers?
Yes.
Were you going to, like, Boca Burgers or something like that?
I've been listening to you.
You know what? You can't believe everything you hear on public radio. I know you'd be shocked. That's like the web. You can't believe everything you hear on public radio. But let me tell you, these Juicy Lucy Burgers that we're going to make today, I want to assure you, Tom, they are the farthest thing from heart healthy. But in the time of COVID, sometimes we need to have a kind of a little comfort food that isn't really the best for us. So, you know, it's not just every day, but, you know, we got to have some of that stuff, right?
So that's your excuse and you're staying with it.
Yeah, that's right. You got it exactly. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We start out with 2 pounds of fresh ground beef, around 80 to 85% lean.
2 pounds fresh ground beef.
A tablespoonful of Worcestershire sauce.
One big T Worcestershire sauce.
Now, the thing about Worcestershire sauce, if you pronounce it the way it looks, it's Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
That's right. Yeah. 2 teaspoons of garlic powder. And remember, garlic is pronounced the way it's written.
2 little T garlic.
Of course, you're going to have some salt and pepper, right? Salt and
S&P.
Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
4 ounces of cheese. What kind of cheese do you like? Would you rather have sharp, blue cheese, Swiss, cheddar? What would you like?
I like them all.
Of course, you're going to have buns that you're going to vegetable oil. And, of course, the toppings, ketchup, mustard, pickles, tomato slices. How about jalapeno peppers?
Sure.
That would be good. Lettuce, tomato. All right. Shall we make it?
Yeah.
Okay, now, first of all, got to get the grill. Are you going to go out in the backyard right now and get the grill working?
Not me.
By the way, do you have a grill in your backyard?
Yes, actually.
How much dust is on it?
A lot.
A lot of dust. Okay. In a large bowl, combine the ground beef with the Worcestershire sauce, the Worcestershire sauce, garlic powder, salt and pepper. Mix the seasonings till they're obviously evenly distributed. Then divide it into 16 equal parts, okay? And place it on parchment paper or plastic wrap, something you can place it on so you can flatten it into patties about a quarter of an inch thick. Then break the cheese. Now cut or break the cheese into small pieces. 4 ounces of cheese on the top of each of these 8 burgers. So, you know, a little bit of cheese, you know, as much as you want to have, 4 ounces. And then, of course, top each burger with, guess what? Another burger.
Okay.
Another burger. So it's a burger on a burger with cheese in between. Nothing hard healthy here at all. Nothing hard. Okay, now rub some veggie oil on the grill. Get the grill up to high. Sear the burgers. This is what you do. So the key in this is the grilling. Mm-hmm. You want to sear the burgers over direct heat. Okay, direct heat. 1 to 2 minutes on each side. So you've got it nice and kind of direct heat burned on each side. After flipping, poke a small hole in the top of each one to allow the steam to escape. And that's going to be basically from not only the burger, but also from the cheese. And then you continue to cook on indirect heat for about 8 to 10 minutes until that internal temperature is 160 or 170 that you want to get to. And then you've got to let them rest for 5 minutes. I know, Tom, you're going to be excited. Come on, Mickey. Come on. You got to get that burger out there, but you've got to let that rest. You got the toasted butters on the grill. Take the burgers out and put on your toppings, and you're done.
I think a lot of listeners will want this recipe, probably more than usually.
You know, our listeners, I mean, they're public radio listeners. We know public radio listeners, number one, they're vegan, they're vegetarian, they're good eaters, they never sin, they don't drink too much, they exercise every single day. You know, that's in our mind, public radio people. But you know what? I think they splurge like everybody else, don't you?
Every now and then.
Yeah. Every now and then. And this is what the now and then is. So if you weren't able to write all of this down,
yep.
I bet they can get this on the World Wide Web. What do you think?
Good idea.
It's a good idea. So go to ZorbaPastor.org, ZorbaPastor.org. You can see great pictures of Tom, me. You can go to the web. You can look at other recipes. That's ZorbaPastor.org. And don't forget, we can also be seen, of course, through Facebook.
Zorba, who's this I see coming? Oh, it's Carl is back.
Oh, Carl. Carl's walking in the virtual space again. He's got 10 fingers and 10 toes. He's coming back.
I'll see you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
800-462-7413 is the number to call if you'd like to leave us a question. That's 1-800-462-7413. Now let's hear from a caller in New York City.
I suffer from migraines, and until recently took nothing other than Advil. I've tried lactose and gluten-free diets, and so far they've helped a little bit, but I wanted to see if you had any recommendations or suggestions for migraines. Thank you so much.
I remember my first migraines occurred when I was like 5 or 6 years old, and my mother just called them headaches, and I remember these pounding, awful headaches, and she would scratch my back and just hug me, and she had migraines. So, you know, it was just something like, well, you just have a bad headache just like I have. And there are medications you can use for migraines. Beta blockers, which are wonderful, wonderful drugs, help with migraines. Also, some of the anti-seizure medications such as Topamax, Topiramide, excellent drugs for migraines. Excedrin Migraine, which is an over-the-counter drug, works. And then, of course, there are the migraine drugs that you get, the acute migraine drugs that you can also take, which can make a difference, like Maxalt and a whole bunch of those. But the real issue is, how do you get rid of it by food? Well, one of the things you want to do is try to avoid those foods that actually trigger the migraines. So for some people, it's red wine. For other people, it's white wine. But for others, it's a matter of looking at the diet and seeing if there's a dietary trigger. And you look on the web and you see peanuts can trigger it, chocolate can trigger it, a lot of different things. But I would look at the FODMAP diet, F as in Frank, O-D, MAP. And the interesting thing about the FODMAP diet, and it stands for fermentable oligodisaccharides and monosaccharides, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but what it is fermentable carbohydrates in your colon. And if you look at the FODMAP diet, it basically, we're starting to use it more and more for irritable bowel syndrome. And we've discovered that it can really recheck, if you will, sort of kickstart your bowel bacteria that appear to be very important in health and wellness, more important than we ever thought before. And so I've had a number of people who have gone on the FODMAP diet for migraines. They do it for a month. They restart their colon. They get the good bacteria in, get the bad bacteria out. And if you look at it, she was talking about going gluten-free, looking at lactose and whether or not it made it. Forget about those for the moment. Go to FODMAP and that might be your answer, because for some people, it makes a big, big difference. Be really rigorous. Follow FODMAP for a month and then slowly introduce other foods. And FODMAP is not a simple diet. You have to look at what's allowed and what's not allowed, but it has to do, once again, with how carbohydrates and sugars are digested in your gut.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413 is the number to call if you'd like to leave us a question. And Zorba, we get so many calls from our wonderful listeners with so many great questions, of course. But we also get those calls from helpful listeners who offer up their comments and health tips.
Yeah, right.
Right? We get a lot of them. And we love them.
We do. We love them. Yep. I really do. Absolutely. Yep.
So let's take some time now to hear a few of these calls in the segment we call Caller Comments.
This is a bunch of caller comments. People calling us with their health tips.
Thanks. We appreciate it. We do appreciate it. All right. First up, Zorba, on a recent show, you were talking about a study claiming the benefits of forest bathing. Remember that one?
Forest bathing?
Where you go out for a walk in the woods and just be in the woods.
Right.
Yep. So here's a caller who has something to say about forest bathing, and this is a caller from Knoxville, Tennessee.
I want to comment on your segment on taking a bath in the woods. I've been doing that for a long time. I'm 83 years old, and I call it sniffing the wind, smelling the roses, and these people that hike 40 miles a day are missing the boat. They need to hike, sit down when they see something interesting, and I'd like to comment on it. Thank you.
You know, he has a great point. You know, here it is. You go, I'm going to go as fast as I can, walk through those woods and hike. It's totally different than strolling, looking around, and bathing in Mother Nature. It's a very, very different feel. And we know that. I mean, you can just picture it. Jogging through the woods, going as quickly as you can, is totally different than just sort of looking from one vista to another and bathing in that. And they really are different ways to actually experience Mother Nature. Both, I think, are interesting and good, but one is bathing and the other is running.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. And finally, Zorba, you've been doing this show a long time.
A long time.
And over the years, you've helped countless people calling in or emailing the show with their healthy living questions. But sometimes it's nice to hear that you're just doing a good job, right?
You bet.
Let's do that. Let's hear now from a caller in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I actually just wanted to call and say thank you very much for some advice I received several years back from listening to your show. I'm suffering from a lot of ankle pain, such that I was considering, you know, seeing if I could get surgery or something to correct it. I was kept up all night and it was rather, rather awful. I remember listening to your show one day years ago. A woman called in with the same issue, and you had given the simple advice to, before bed, hang your feet over the side of the bed and draw the alphabet with your feet. As a result of that, I'd say I'm nearly completely pain-free as of today.
Wow.
And again, I just wanted to thank you very much for that advice, that very simple fix. And just making sure to do it routinely and regularly has alleviated so much pain that I felt in my ankles and has made me have a much more comfortable life. So, again, thank you very much for the advice. I certainly would love to, you know, share that advice with anybody else who might benefit from it. Thank you for your time. Have a great day.
Wow. How wonderful.
How about that?
Thank you. Thank you. Very nice. Very nice to get feedback on those things. And we really appreciate it. It's really fun to hear and fun to get feedback from people. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right. Thanks a lot for all those great comments. 800-462-7413. Call anytime at 800-462-7413. And before the break, Zorba, it's that time in the show where we check in with your favorite backseat drivers and know-it-alls, the Grammar Police. All right, Zorba, the following email came from Mark in Reedstown, Wisconsin. Mark writes, "Oh no, it's the Grammar Police." We just heard that. "Before I needlessly chastise you over an innocent mistake, I must tell you that if laughter is the best medicine, you have added at least 100 years to my life."
Oh, nice. That's so nice.
All right. "During your recipe for beef and rosemary skewers, you mentioned, quote, whisking with a whisker. A whisker is one of those things under your nose," which, Zorba, you know about that. "You whisk things with a whisk."
With a whisk. Yes.
Mark says, "Keep up the good work. Your faithful fan, Mark from Reedstown, Wisconsin."
Wisconsin. I love it. Duly noted.
Yeah, write that down. Make sure you never, ever do that again, Zorba.
Duly noted.
All right. Do you think Zorba used the wrong word for a kitchen utensil? Or maybe you just have another spatula with him.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
We have more of your calls to come. We have another topic to discuss, and Zorba will be answering more of your emails, of course. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. 800-462-7413 is the number to call where anytime you can leave a voicemail for Zorba. And then stay tuned. You might just hear yourself on an upcoming episode of our show. But before we hear from more of our listeners, Zorba, got some new research suggesting that exercise can help with our memory?
Right, exactly. So you've got some young kids, don't you, Carl?
I have two young children, yep.
That's right. Have you noticed how they kind of like to run around often? You know, they want to run around, they want to do things.
Just once in a while they run around.
Well, the issue is, especially like in school, you know, they would have recess in school. I remember we had morning recess and afternoon recess, and then after like sixth grade, we only had morning recess. I mean, it was the idea that kids have to get out and move around. But the answer might also be that getting out and moving around really makes a difference in terms of memory. And it may not just be for children. It may actually be for young adults. There's some interesting research on this. This particular thing looked at motor learning. So they took 15 young, healthy men, they didn't have women in this study, young, healthy men, took memory tests under three conditions of physical exercise. One, after 30 minutes of cycling, moderate cycling. The next one after 15 minutes of intensive cycling, and then the next one just after a period of rest. And they looked at how they actually worked a video machine, how they could concentrate, how they could type, how quick they would see a word on the computer and they had to type it out. And lo and behold, the ones who had exercised, especially the ones who exercised intensely, did better in terms of their ability to type and do things like that nature. So you can imagine where something like that might help. You type quickly or slowly?
I think I type at a medium pace. I think I'm okay.
But I'll tell you, that's really important for a lot of jobs. The quicker you are, the quicker you have that hand-motor coordination. But then the question is whether or not physical exercise like that will also help in terms of Alzheimer's. Now, in a previous study, they looked at patients who had Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. They put them in an exercise program, and then they put them through a series of sort of memory tests. Once again, these are people who have dementia, so the memory tests are going to be a little bit different, but there are ways that you can actually test people, not with severe Alzheimer's, but people with mild dementia and mild Alzheimer's. And it also showed that maybe the effect of exercise also helped people with memory dysfunction. Really important. So what do you think is one of the top-selling supplements in the world today? What would you guess?
Probably, was it echinacea? Is that the memory
well,
one?
Well, echinacea is there for a cold, something you would think about at your age. But actually, it's ginkgo.
Oh, ginkgo's the memory one.
Ginkgo. It's the memory one.
We I forgot.
Ginkgo, I want to improve my memory. You forgot, so you have another appropriate. But the ginkgo one will improve the memory. But people are always trying to improve their memory. And the answer is exercise is one way that you can improve your memory. So this study, once again, shows it may not just be hand-motor coordination that you have with a keyboard or typing or working on a computer, but that exercise is good for memory no matter what. And it may be something we really have to begin to do, especially with older adults as their memory begins to crater. Don't spend your money on the pill. Instead, go and exercise your body, and that will improve your memory, your day-to-day memory, which is what's really most important.
800-462-7413 is the number to call if you'd like to leave us a message with a question. And let's get back to more of those voicemails. This is a caller from Madison, Wisconsin.
The medical issue I'm calling about is I've been treated for an enlarged prostate for several months now, and I've been taking different medications as prescribed by my physician. So far, I'm still getting up 3 to 4 times a night. During the day, it is somewhat improved. But I would like to be able to find out if Dr. Zorba has any other suggestions. Thank you.
Lots of suggestions here. So first of all, there are a number of things that you can do to try to reduce how much urine you make at night. In other words, so that's the first suggestion. After, let's assume you're going to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. After 6 o'clock, don't really have much to drink. If you're really thirsty, just drink enough to take care of your thirst. If your mouth tends to be dry, just enough to sort of wet your whistle, wherever that came from. And that's what you do. And that may decrease the amount of time you get up at night. There's certain things also that increase the desire to go to the bathroom, drinking too much coffee, too much caffeinated beverages throughout the day. Some people find that carbonated beverages also are an issue, and alcohol. So those are things that basically you sort of want to avoid. Now, from a medication point of view, if one medicine doesn't work, there are two different medications that can sometimes work. A drug called finasteride, F-I-N-E-S-T-A-R-I-D-E, Proscar was the brand name when it came out. And that actually will help shrink the prostate. It takes about 6 to 9 months to work, but that along with other drugs such as Tamsulosin or Avodart that basically decrease the membrane around the prostate that tends to spasm at nighttime. Those drugs in combination can often do the trick. And many doctors often give drugs that actually, as I say, a drug called Tamsulosin, which is a drug that decreases the membrane's ability on the prostate, causes it. Often many doctors only give that, and they don't give the finasteride. But together, those two drugs can really make a difference. And if that fails, you want to go to a urologist and look at some other things. One could be a TURP that reams out your entire prostate. One can be different things that you can do with a heat cautery to sort of enlarge the prostate. But there are different surgical procedures. And if you're getting up 4 to 5 times a night, number one, try changing the how much you're drinking. Number two, try the combination of two medications. And if that fails, then you want to look at something surgical. Because getting up 4 to 5 times a night for the rest of your life is too much.
1-800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, we're going to hear from a caller now in Jacksonville, Florida, who seems to have found himself in a little bit of a pickle. So you'll hear it. A little bit of a pickle here. So, Brad, let's just hear that call.
Hey, I'm Lonzo. I've got a lot of birds in my house right now. And I had a lot of questions about what I should do about that because they're everywhere, frankly. Okay, call me back. Okay, Dr. Zorba, it's Lonzo again. I'm sorry. I got him pinned down really good. Please help me out with my thousands and thousands of birds in the house. I made a mistake. It was a mistake, Dr. Zorba.
Okay, Zorba. Okay, Zorba.
So wait a minute. He's got birds in his house.
I guess.
And he sounds like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And he's asking me to take care of his birds. I am not an ornithologist.
I was going to say, Zorba, like, in all the decades of doing this show, have you ever, like, fielded a call with a bird emergency?
Never. I have never had a bird emergency in the house. But he sounds like he had lots of birds in his house.
I'm not sure if it's a prank or not. I mean, maybe it's a prank, but...
I don't know. You've got to respect people if they have a problem. Mm-hmm. You've got to respect them. But I do not have... You know what? I'm stumped.
Well, this call, I wanted to play it because it reminded me of the, like you mentioned, that Alfred Hitchcock film, The Birds, from 1962. Right. I'm sure you saw that movie.
Of course.
So let's go down a little bird wormhole here. So I did a little bit of research on this. An interesting Hitchcock fact, that film has no musical score. It just has those terrifying bird sounds. I don't know if you remember how that sounded.
Oh, I do remember them, right.
They were actually not real birds. The sounds were created using one of the first synthesizers that was ever invented. It's called the Tritonium.
Ha!
And so Hitchcock wanted this instrument to replicate these bird sounds, so he commissioned this guy, Oscar Sala, and he was the only person in the world at that time who could play this really odd electronic instrument, and he asked him to create, quote, this is from Hitchcock, this is his quote, not realistic bird sounds, but more or less impressionistic sounds of birds screaming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I do, in my memory, I think of the birds screaming as they're coming down. I don't think of it as an instrument. You mean they weren't real birds?
They weren't real birds because I read a little bit and they said that anytime they tried to use real birds at first, but all real birds kind of sounded too peaceful. You know, you hear bird sounds and you think, oh, it sounds nice. And this is not a nice, peaceful movie, you know.
I got it. They were not able to get squawking birds.
Yeah.
It's not a peaceful movie.
So Zorba, you're in luck here. I thought it might be kind of interesting to hear this caller's call paired up with Hitchcock's horrifying soundtrack from The Birds. So let's hear how that might sound, Brad.
Okay, Dr. Zorba, it's Lonzo again. I'm sorry. I got him pinned down really good. Please help me out with my thousands and thousands of birds in the house. I made a mistake, Dr. Zorba.
So yeah, that's the you know, was that worth it? Was that worth doing? Yeah, I don't know.
Totally. It's PTSD. There are a lot of people who were frightened after that movie. I mean,
My mom, I remember it came on TV when I was younger. My mom, I was like, what movie is this? I was pretty young. And she said, oh, this is The Birds. You have to watch this. And I'm surprised looking back, she actually wanted me to watch that movie as a kid.
Because it was pretty scary.
But
no, I would shut it off. That's what I would do. I mean, it still gives me chills when I think about that and Psycho.
Oh, sure. Exactly. All right. 800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime with your bird emergency. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, it's that time for the segment where you, an honest to Pete doctor, square off against the mighty, mighty internet. This is Google Doc. All right, the following email came to us from a listener, George, in Duluth, Minnesota. Dear Dr. Pastor, I listen to your show every week and have really enjoyed it. I'm 70 years old and have a constant constipation problem. Uh-huh. I already started eating more beans, about 3/4 cup of cooked beans every day, and it certainly helps. But I read that eating too many beans would increase nitrogen levels and that would damage the kidneys. Uh-huh. My question is this. How much daily beans is too much?
Well, actually, it's not true. You can have beans. No, you can have beans breakfast, lunch, dinner. I mean, nobody may want to live with you.
Yeah, right.
You can have beans quite as often as you want to. It does not increase the nitrogen levels. Your body does just fine. You know, I mean, we're not plants, so we're not fixing nitrogen from eating beans. And the reality is you can eat as many beans as you want to, as many beans as you desire or those around you desire to have. So once again, a good example of incorrect news on the net. I know you'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Sometimes things you hear on the net are not true.
Have an interesting question for Zorba. Legume no, by posting on our Facebook page or by sorry about that yeah. or by sending us an email at,
you know what, comedy writer, radio producer in the morning, comedy writer by night, Zorba, WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Call anytime. Leave a question for Zorba. But before we head out today, Zorba, let's reach into the Zorba Pastor On Your Health email bag and pull out a listener email. This comes to us from a listener named Aaron, who writes, "Hey Zorba, I'm a medical social worker who works in a nursing home. Months back, we had a breakout of COVID-19 and I contracted the disease. I lost my taste and smell, got lethargic, and had tons of GI symptoms. When I regained my taste and smell, I could smell something that I've never experienced before. It's almost like a chemical iron. So it's been months since recovery, and this is a persistent issue. I taste it randomly with fried foods, meats, or even when I wake up. So I know this sounds like a good thing, but I cannot smell my farts. It's either literally nothing or that chemical iron smell." Aaron goes on, "My girlfriend, poor thing, can still smell them and not what I'm experiencing at all. So do you have any thoughts on this? Thank you very much, and I love listening to your show."
I have a lot of thoughts. Don't fart around your girlfriend. That's the most important thing.
Number one.
That's number one. It's probably this post-COVID thing. We don't know why it affects the taste buds and the smell buds. I mean, it affects taste because most taste, you know, other than salty, sugar, bitter and sour, and something called umami, most of it is actually through the nose. So why you're smelling something that smells like iron, whatever iron smells like. I don't really know what iron smells like. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. But the answer is yes, you've obviously have a smell change that has occurred. We don't know if it lasts forever or if it just lasts for a period of time because COVID is new. But the bottom line is stop farting.
That's good advice. Thanks for that question, Aaron.
Just like your mom would say.
Listeners, if you have a question for the good doc, just post on our Facebook page, or you could always send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Maybe see you next week, Zorba.
Maybe is correct. Stay well. Stay well, Carl.
If you miss anything during the show or you just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org. And don't forget, we're on Facebook.
And you can call us anytime to leave us your question at 800-462-7413. And please do visit the Zorba Pastor On Your Health Facebook page for Zorba's frequent pandemic updates. Zorba Pastor On Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor and Tom Clark, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor On Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.